Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Here we are in the studio, and this is my question for you, Mike and Jessica. Are either of you pack rats?
No.
No.
Good. I believe that. Well, unfortunately, this woman in Shelton, Washington was so much of a pack rat that she was reported missing by her husband and was later found dead under piles of clutter in their home where she suffocated to death, according to the police.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. So this woman is 62 years old, and basically the story goes she was looking for the phone, and she went missing. And after two police searches, 10 hours of searching, they finally found her underneath a pile of stuff in the home. The clutter was so much that the police officers' heads touched the ceiling as they climbed over the clutter looking through it.
That's gross.
They actually had a whole show on Discovery Channel or
Hoarders.
Something.
Hoarders.
Yeah. So maybe that's a common thing. I don't know.
Well, and that's what they diagnosed her as a condition known as hoarding. And it's a symptom oftentimes of obsessive compulsive disorder, according to the report.
I'm trying to get rid of all my stuff.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to just talk about clutter, physical clutter. We're also going to talk about emotional clutter and how they might actually be related. So let's start off with this. The four main reasons why people don't get rid of their stuff. Like this woman, number one is a hoarder. And this is the thought process of someone who hoards. Well, it's rooted in insecurity, and I can't get rid of it. It might come in handy someday.
Right, so they need it.
Yeah, there's an insecurity with either financial or something else, and they fear that they'll never have the resource if they let it go, or the possession if they let it go. So no matter how worn or useless, I mean, this woman I'm sure had like, you know, cheese wrappers all over the house. She's worried that if she let it go, she might never have it again. She needs to hoard it.
I need that cheese wrapper.
But a lot of people buy that stuff and don't even open the packaging. They just buy it.
They just get stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, and what's important to remember is that there'll always be stuff. You can always get more stuff. You can go to the dump and get stuff. You can go to a garage sale. You can go to a store. You can always get stuff. You can even get stuff cheap if you need to. So that's the thing to remember. So here's the second one, the deferrer. Now, I see myself in this a little bit. It's the whole procrastinator. Well, I'll think about that tomorrow. So the deferral mindset is the great set aside. So whether it's the bills or the notes of things you're supposed to do, or it's something that needs to be cleaned or repaired or a project or old newspapers or magazines, or maybe even the dinner dishes in the sink or wet laundry, they just think, well, tomorrow I'll have more time, or later I'll have more energy.
Yeah, I can relate to that a little bit.
I think everyone can to a certain extent.
Yeah, and to the extent that you put off these decisions or you put off the tasks, this procrastination, the downside is it starts to wear on you because, as you know, you don't have more energy or more time later. Mm-hmm. So then it piles up, and then it feels unmanageable, and there's overwhelm, and you simply start to create this disaster that you feel like you can't conquer. So really the trick with that is create some type of momentum. You know, just start moving. Take some kind of action.
But there's something to be said about working under pressure.
Well, that's a good point. And some people need to create the pressure in order to do it. And again, the mind is connected to this. The third one is called the rebel. That's the whole, I don't want to do it and you can't make me. And this stems oftentimes from childhood, and it's oftentimes the mother's fault, at least we'll say. It's when you're forced to do something, you're forced to keep your room clean, you're forced to do something, and you're still acting like the stubborn four-year-old who doesn't want to pick up his toys. So the thing with the rebel is to remember that you don't live with mom anymore. The war is over. Your family probably deserves more of an adult. You know, you can actually put the clothes in the hamper and the cereal bowl in the dishwasher. It's okay. You can be a parent now. And maybe you want a house that's nice to live in. And then the fourth one, which again, I relate to a little bit, is the perfectionist. These are, you know, really great people, but they live in this kind of all or nothing world. So, well, if I can't completely organize the junk drawer right now exactly how I want it, then I'm not going to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't totally take everything out of the closet and put it back perfectly, well, then I'm just going to throw this on the shelf.
I think I'll take the hoarder over that.
My closet is either perfectly color coordinated and organized, or it's just a disaster. There's no in between.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's true. And maybe the trick for the perfectionist is, you know, the whole 80-20 rule. You know, just fix 20% of it and it'll feel so much better. So just mm-hmm. do something and something little. And I found that usually if I just get started, I want to finish because I want to make it perfect. So it's just that initial initiation of movement that I have to get going.
Like anything.
So what about clutter in our mind? This is what I mean. Any type of thoughts that don't fully serve us. You know what I'm talking about. Especially think of times where you're quiet. So maybe you're driving, you're in the shower, you're lying in bed at night. And we have those stories that we just keep telling ourselves, usually based in fear. We overthink. We overanalyze. We play out what could happen, or we play out what did happen in our head over and over. Gossip, holding a grudge, still being mad at something that happened a while ago, or having that guilty conscience.
That'll eat away at you.
Yeah, or that poor me kind of victim mentality, those feelings of loss, feelings of rage, feeling small or powerless, any type of addiction, and even just a disconnection from people or from nature. It's all clutter in our heads. There's a quote by Earl Nightingale that goes, "Destructive emotions such as anger, hatred, or jealousy don't hurt others, they hurt you. They make your life miserable, they can make you sick. Forgive everyone who ever hurt you, really forgive them, and then forgive yourself. That's all past. Stewing over it, exhuming it, can only make you sick. Forgive and forget it. Get rid of it." So how does this relate to the junk in my garage, you may ask?
Is that a metaphor?
Well, let's bring it back. Seriously, though, let's bring it back to the lady who died because of her clutter. Do you think it's possible for someone who lives in their right mind to have a house like that?
No, absolutely not.
And let's say someone had a house like that. Is it possible to stay in your right mind and live in that clutter?
No.
So if that's the extreme, pull that back maybe 80 or 90%, and you can still apply that to us. You can apply that to clutter, and you know the difference. When you finally take the time to clear out, say, your desk or your pocketbook or your dresser drawers, how do you feel?
Fantastic.
Yeah, you feel
so organized,
clear.
Together. Yeah.
You feel clear. I've noticed that even with our children, when we would have a messy playroom or messy bedroom, and I would just take the time with them to clear it out and clean it, they played differently. You could tell they were more relaxed. They enjoyed their space more, and we're no different as adults. So maybe the question is, well, what comes first? And I think the answer to that is we cannot separate clutter from us. It's not separate. However, it's also not who you really are. It creates a screen that hides who you really are. So the clutter in your garage had to begin somewhere. And I'd like to talk about how the emotional clutter possibly can breed the physical clutter. So after the break, we're going to talk about values, what's really important to you, and we'll actually talk about action steps to start making your emotional clutter go away.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
And we're back talking about clutter. Now, I don't just mean the clutter in your closet. I mean the clutter in your head. We're talking about how they relate. So here we go. We're going to talk about values. We're going to do a values determination exercise. Now, if you want to learn a little bit more about this, you can go to www.drdemartini.com, drdemartini.com, and you can take his values determination test. But the gist of it is, you ask yourself questions like, What do I think about the most? And not what you think you should think about the most, but what do I think about the most?
Shoes.
Okay, that could be one.
Work.
That's very commonly one. It may be a hobby. It may be a relationship. It may be your children. So the next one is, what do I talk about the most? When I'm talking to people, what topic comes up? What is the things that you seem to want to bring the conversation to?
Shoes.
Work.
Work.
Travel, maybe. Yeah, there you go. And then you can ask, and ways to clarify this, ask yourself questions like, well, what do I spend my money on? So aside from the basics, things that you would have to spend your money on, what do you spend your extra money on?
Shoes.
I don't see the money. I don't know.
Well, if you were to look at what is in your house, that's another thing. What do I fill my space with?
Right, electronic gear.
There you go. That's one. Maybe pictures of family. It may be some type of artist's equipment.
I would say I spend my money on food.
That is definitely right for you then. That's a value.
Right.
What do I talk to myself about the most? What do I envision the most? What do I set goals on the most? Basically, it's trying to figure out what is most important in your life. What do you value?
That's what you're getting at.
Yeah, and if you can figure that out by these questions and make a list, you know, maybe you'll find that, you know, wow, my work is my number one value. And then close behind, it's my relationships or a certain hobby or providing healthy food for my family and meals, so it could be cooking. Once you can determine your values, you can actually use that information to help determine your physical space and what's important to you to have around you, and also where you really want your thoughts to go. So I encourage you when you do this exercise, actually, to not place societal's expectations on you. So your values are just your values. Now, you may find that you really want something else that didn't show up to be a value, and you can work on that. You can decide, how can I make this more of my mind share? So let's say the word money never came up. And all of these questions that you wrote out, money never came up, but you said, wow, I want to value money more because I feel like I don't have much money in my life. I want to value it more. Well, how can you bring money closer to something you think about more or something you take action on more? So you can change your values. But here's the trick. Let's take this concept of values and let's use it to simplify your physical space. So for example, I did this exercise with my home office. I went home after a weekend seminar where we worked an entire weekend on this, actually, and I looked at the physical space of my home office. And I thought, okay, so when I'm sitting here, what values am I really focused on? And I thought about it, and I'm focused on my values of public speaking and of researching and of writing and of work. That's what I do in that space. But then I looked around, and I had a lot of knickknacks that had nothing to do with that. I had a lot of pictures of family, and I had a lot of fiction books and just random books sitting there. And then I went into my bedroom, and I thought, okay, what are my highest values when I'm in my bedroom? And I thought, well, personal growth, that's where I read my personal growth books. Relationship, that's where my husband and I spend our time and converse. And that's really what I want my...
converse. Yeah.
Okay, but yet in my bedroom, I noticed I had a lot of business books. I had work certificates. I had some papers I was working on that were cluttering the bedroom. So what I did was I reorganized and put all the pictures of relationship and of family and all my fiction books and my personal development books in the bedroom, in my journals.
That makes so much more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then I took anything work-related out of the bedroom and put it in my workspace. So even the knickknacks that had nothing to do with inspiring me for work, I put those in the living room where I can appreciate them when I'm just relaxing in front of the fire. And then I even went a step further and I thought, well, what inspires me for what I want to do in my workspace? And I had made a vision board of some speaking engagements I want to attract and some seminars I want to go to. And I made sure the vision board was right in my line of sight. I put some awards that I had won. I put them right up on the wall next to my office. I got a special bookcase and put all my business books and speaking books right there. And I made it so there was no clutter that didn't align with the values that I wanted to experience when I was in my workspace. And I actually have been doing that for every space in my home. And it's interesting when I come across something that just doesn't fit anywhere. It doesn't fit any value. It doesn't fit anything that's important to me. And I can let it go. And what's happened now is I feel good in each space that I'm in. It just feels good to me, and I feel more productive. So let's quickly talk about the top reasons we hold on to stuff and have a hard time letting them go from a mind perspective. The first one is the whole scarcity thinking. This goes back to the hoarder, the whole just in case. If you haven't used something in 5 years, what are the chances you're going to use it? Or if you haven't worn something in 5 years, or, and that could go as far as jewelry and shoes and clothing and camping equipment and kitchen items. If you haven't used it in 5 years, or even in a year, you can determine what your gauge is.
I'm kind of guilty of that. I probably have 5 old computers in my office that probably, yeah, you know, wouldn't even take any of the software I'm using now. Why are they there?
Right. Why are they there? They're just taking up space.
Right.
Well, and then there's the whole shelf life. Well, it's not used up yet. It's the old things of paint, or maybe there's food in the pantry that somehow it's just getting old, but maybe I haven't fully used it. Or there's a piece of clothing that really has more life in it, but it's just not who you are anymore, or maybe never quite fit right. Sometimes we can't let go of something because we feel that it hasn't been used up yet. And the great thing about that is it's so easy these days to get rid of things that you no longer have a use for, but yet can help somebody else. You can donate it. You can put it on Craigslist or on eBay. You can give it away to a friend. There's so many organizations. So just taking a moment to figure that out because you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. It actually feels good. There's so many things in so many people's houses that aren't being used that if we could redistribute and help other people, it's unbelievable. Well, then, of course, we have sentimental attachments, right? Mm-hmm. Now, and the problem with that really comes in if it's more of a massive collection of sentimentalia. You know, and sometimes that can just drain the life force right out of your home.
I do not have collections.
No,
I don't think I have any.
You seem like you'd have a very simple house.
Minimalist. I don't like to dust knickknacks.
You know, maybe there's something you collected. I know someone who collected frogs, like things, not real frogs, but actual like figurines and anything that had to do with frogs. And she was really into that in her teens and 20s. And then in her 30s, one day she just said, you know what? I don't really even like frogs anymore. And getting rid of all of it just made her feel clean again. It made her feel like she could kind of focus on where her life was going, not where it had been. So sometimes actually letting go of something you perceive as sentimental actually is freeing. Mm-hmm. It can feel good. And then, you know, really picking stuff based on what you love now and honest usefulness and just letting the rest go. And then interestingly, here's a big one. Some people hold on to stuff because of guilt. This stuff just needs me. I can't possibly throw it away until I find the right home for it because it needs me.
You're talking about inanimate objects here, right?
Right. But you'll find that people, they can't let go of it.
Or what That's if true. It's somebody gives you a gift, somebody, you know, that you love gives you a gift and you don't like it, but you hold on to it because you feel guilty.
I just re-gift it.
Right. And they have no idea that it's in the bottom shelf somewhere and they're never going to see it and you're never going to use it anyway, but there's a guilt there.
Right.
That's right. Well, and we can transfer all this to clutter in our mind as well. You know, when people have, say, chronic lateness, there's an emotional attachment for some reason to procrastinating. If there's it's the same thing cluttering, like just randomly surfing the web with no real goal, just that mind clutter with nothing to do. I mean, I certainly have done that on Facebook. I'll find, you know, 45 minutes can go by and I really did nothing useful.
Yeah, you know, I used to time myself on the internet because, you know, when I first got it in my home, I felt like I was spending too much time on it. And so I would put the timer on for 20 minutes and 20 minutes would go by like 30 seconds, it felt like.
And you're tapping into the key is being aware of how much time and focus you're giving it, because it's very possible that that 20 minutes that flies by, you have a 7-year-old, like what happens with our daughter, 7-year-old sitting there patiently waiting for me to get off the computer so I can go paint my toenails with her, for example. Mm. You know, what can we have done in that 20 minutes? You could have had a fantastic workout.
Right.
You know, it's amazing what people say, I don't have time, but yet they don't have a grasp on how much time we waste with clutter in our lives, whether what we do. You know, even emails. I mean, who here is guilty of having, you know, dozens or hundreds of emails cluttering their inbox?
Me, it's awful.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah,
and
I always have like 80 emails in my box all the time.
And it's so much easier to just delete as we go
right.
and get rid of them, or maybe
again,
once a week.
I think I might need that for some, you know, for some reason. Yeah. I know this person's in my contact list, but, you know, I may have to.
But that's what, you know, little folders in your email
right.
is for.
Right, not that organized.
Yeah. And I guess the question to ask yourself is, okay, so choosing to not be organized in that way, because I know in other ways you're probably very organized, choosing to not be organized in that way, does it affect your mind space?
Yes.
You know what, even if
it's
those little,
loop.
Yeah, those open loops, those little bits of irritation every time you open your emails and have to scroll through or
right.
think how much it is. So if we have small action steps that clear the clutter as we go, what does it do to free up our mind space and our mind share?
I can tell you, getting off of email lists totally freed up my email. I don't have to spend time deleting that stuff. And what I did was all those people that were sending me emails, I liked them on Facebook, so I could get them in my newsfeed instead of my email box, and now it's not cluttered anymore.
She's so organized.
Well, and when I get on this just random list, like I'm on a Lego list, I'll just go in and you can just say, delete me from this mailing list, and it takes a minute to do, but then you're done.
Right.
You don't have to spend every single day deleting it. That's right. So I guess the synopsis here is to clear the junk in your space deliberately and do it in a reverent way that you know is accepting, that you know is helping your mind share. So if the mind share created the physical clutter, clearing the physical clutter can help bring back the right mind share. Make your surroundings inspirational and values focus. Let go of what doesn't align with who you are right now or where you want to go, not just physically, but emotionally. Who do you want to be? And does your space and your mind share allow you to be that? Watch your head clear and stay more clear. It's amazing.
I'm going to declutter the studio after the show,
nice.
Starting with you guys.
Nice.
Yeah, what is that random piece of paper on the floor?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's my list keeping down there.
Well, I hope we've inspired you, because we can build health one day at a time by helping our bodies stay clean and helping our minds stay clean.
And you give workshops on this.
We do.
You just gave a workshop on this very topic not too long ago. And if you would like to book Dr. Jennifer for a workshop at your corporation or organization, you can go to drjennykretzinger.com, drjennykretzinger.com for more information about that.
Thanks, Jessica. And, you know, I really hope that you'll also see us on Facebook and like us. It's under Spinal Corrective Center, because we have a lot of great links to not only radio shows, but blogs that we write and what's going on in our local office.
Oh, lots of fun stuff.
Lots of fun. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to SpinalCorrectiveCenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's SpinalCorrectiveCenter.com or call 603-673-5600.